Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we begin today on a small wooden boat in the southwest of France. And there, a young boy named Anthony Bourdain ate his first oyster.
But I, in the proudest moment of my young life, stood up smartly, grinning with defiance, and volunteered to be the first. And with one bite and a slurp, wolfed it down. It tasted of seawater, of brine and flesh, and somehow of the future. My parents' shudders, my little brother's expression of unrestrained revulsion and amazement only reinforced the sense that I had somehow become a man. I'd learned something. Food had power. It could inspire, astonish, shock, excite, delight, and impress. It had the power to please me and others.
Those are excerpts of the late Anthony Bourdain reading the audio version of his 2000 best-selling book, Kitchen Confidential. And he would later cite that experience as the start of his quest to become a chef. Food does have power, as Bourdain writes. And it turns out there are a lot of ingredients out there that push us all to love or hate, like oysters. And in this new series, we are setting out to rehabilitate those reviled ingredients with a better understanding, freshness, local creativity. Can we turn ick to yummy? We're going to try it today with oysters. Jeremy Sewell is chef and owner of Row 34 with locations in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. Nancy Batista Caswell is owner of Caswell Restaurant Group, including Brine Oyster Bar in Newburyport. Jeremy, welcome.
Thank you.
Nancy, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
We also have a guest taster here, former Oyster Bar employee and producer of the only other segment where I have eaten an oyster on air. WBUR's Walter Wuthman is here as well. Hey there, Walt.
Hey, Tiziana.
And I should note, there are listeners out there going, what do you mean reviled? I love oysters. Right. Love or hate? So going to acknowledge you. And we're going to learn all of the wonderful ways that you can serve oyster. But I want to start with a lightning round. So, Jeremy, raw or cooked?
Raw.
Nancy, favorite oyster dish?
I love fried oysters.
Best variety?
Anything coming out of Duxbury or Barnstable.
I would agree. Anything coming out of the Cape, yeah.
True or false, only eat oysters in months that end in R?
That's false.
Yeah, false.
All right. And circling back to Kitchen Confidential and Bourdain, he writes that you shouldn't order fish at restaurants on Mondays. True or false? Mm.
I think that's false.
Yeah, I'd say false too.
But sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, obviously our opinion is jaded. We serve great fish on Monday as we do every other day. Yeah.
The old saw is that the order might not have been placed since the previous Thursday. And so on Monday, you might not be getting the freshest fish. Mm. Of course, the two of you are like, of course, in my restaurants, you're going to get the freshest fish. Okay, so here's what we're going to do today. We are going to take this dish. We're going to try some different ways to prepare it. We're going to learn about the history of oysters, the myths about oysters, their role regionally, et cetera. And we're going to start, Jeremy, with raw oysters, with classic condiments, which you brought in. All of us can taste them. Why don't you tell us what you've got here?
So these are Row 34 oysters. These are grown in Duxbury. This is just a really unique oyster that is grown specifically in cages, and they never touch the bottom, and they're touched a lot, so they end up being a beautiful shape and a nice cup. And they're really just a delicious, briny, great example of a perfect East Coast oyster.
Why does touching them a lot matter?
Well, if you touch them, if you just put them on the bottom, they're going to grow. Or if you leave them alone, they're going to grow. But they're going to grow out. If you touch them and turn them and keep chipping away the edges, they'll grow deep. And sometimes
you
want that nice
flesh.
You want that deep cup, you know, so it's just that kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, we say eyeball quality, where there's just this beautiful lump of oyster sitting in a deep cup.
Okay, for those who are anxious about raw oyster texture, you are not selling it with
okay.
a phrase like eyeball quality.
you got to get over it.
Now, Walt, do you already like raw oysters?
I love raw oysters.
Okay, so what are on these,
Jeremy? I did not do condiments. We're doing straight lemon.
Straight lemon.
And this is really the purest form of eating an oyster. This is how you should eat an oyster. Your first oyster should be just slurped back with a little lemon on it. And I always love to say that everyone remembers their first oyster. Everyone remembers the first time they ate an oyster and where they ate it. And, you know, Bourdain put it beautifully, but I think we all have a similar story of of our first oyster.
Okay, so Walt and I are going to taste them. Nancy, you go ahead and taste now while I take mine. Walt, do you remember your first oyster?
That's funny. Yeah, I actually do, and I didn't realize I remembered it, but it was at my aunt's, I think, 40th birthday party in San Francisco, and her friends grilled oysters out on this little charcoal grill in the rain. And I remember watching it, and I'm like, that looks really cool. I was really young, but and then they gave me one, and I tried it, and it was amazing.
Okay, so Nancy, I'm going to try this, and while I do, tell me how to eat it,
yeah,
and if there's an etiquette to eating a raw oyster.
Well, that's the interesting part, certainly, when someone's trying the oyster. It's kind of getting over the anxiety of, how do I eat the oyster? Do I slurp it? Do I chew it? You know, how do I sauce it? Like, what if I don't like it, right?
I did the just texture. Slurp and chew,
yeah,
not going to lie.
Great. And it's important to do that, you know, and obviously, like Jeremy was saying, the cup is perfect on this, and of course, Jeremy's a pro, so the belly was shucked and completely detached from the shell, which makes it very easy to just bring the shell right to your mouth and enjoy the little bit of brine that was also still present to give it that perfect saltiness.
So, Jeremy, while I ask you to pass me a napkin for the little bit of brine that's on my hands, I was surprised. It really was just, for me, lemon and fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, when you're cooking in general, salt and acid are the two things you want to use the most. And when you just add acid and there's already that brininess of that oyster, they just, you know, combine for that perfect kind of burst of flavor in your mouth. And it's fresh and bright and delicious, makes your mouth water, makes you want another one. And that's the beauty of oysters.
And Walt, did it taste like you want a raw oyster to taste?
Yes. Yeah, like a little bite of the ocean.
Yes. Yeah. There you
Wonderful.
Go. Although it was less oceany, Nancy, than one who, my first oyster on Radio Boston.
Yeah.
Right? Recently, within the last 3.5 years. So I'm still a little afraid that's going to taste like ocean.
Yeah.
Right? But this, the right amount of ocean.
Yeah. And, you know, if you taste an oyster, especially this time of year, I mean, winter is a great time to be eating oysters. A lot of people, especially in New England, tend to think that summertime is the time just because it's obviously beautiful out. But appreciating a good oyster and having it in the winter coming out of cold water is just, it's perfect. And it's going to produce what we just had, which is a nice, clean, mild brine. Easy oyster.
And with wild oysters, the thought was only those R months, because in the summer, both there may be more bacteria, but also because they're spawning. And so the flavor is not as good because the physicality of the oyster changes. Is that right, Jeremy?
That's right. And that's pretty typical historically, where the water warms up, oysters spawn, all their energy goes into spawning. The flesh isn't, you know, kind of soft and mushy and not very good. But, you know, as we've gotten better at growing a lot of things, they've bred that out of the oysters. So they don't, the farmed oysters don't have that moment where they spawn.
Okay. So Nancy, you're going to give us our first cooked dish now, right? This is a baked oyster. And is this a farm raised oyster as well?
Yeah. These guys from Island Creek are doing our oysters too. This one particularly is the Moon Shoals coming out of a Barnstable. As you can see, similar to what Jeremy was saying, this cup is a little bit more deeper. Of course, the belly
is a
little larger.
This is a big shell, right? Yeah. With a lot of oyster. I picture oysters as being itty bitty bits of meat in a shell, but this is substantial.
And it's perfect because if you think about it, the vessel itself is the perfect for baking.
We're reaching across the table while Nancy talks to give me a baked oyster here. So, okay, go ahead.
The cup itself is perfect for holding the ingredients. And what we did today was a bechamel, which is just like a butter sauce. And I always think it's important too to think about a new diner, somebody trying oysters for the first time, to think about something more nostalgic, something they're familiar with, something that they might identify with, like, oh, I love that, so I'd be willing to try an oyster.
And this particular, I like baked fish with
butter. Yeah. And so this butter, and then we're finishing it with fresh black truffles, which, of course, who doesn't love black truffles? And it's an easy prep. You shuck them, you put them in the oven. You can bake them, you can broil them for 5-7 minutes, and they're just delightful.
Okay, so no slurping here. I'm going to use a spoon.
Yeah.
While I do, tell us more, Jeremy, about who grows oysters here, farmed oysters, and why Duxbury seems to be a place for that.
Well, you know, almost every state on the East Coast grows oysters, and it is absolutely one of the largest growing segments of aquaculture in this country. Maine has more coastline than anywhere, and actually probably more coastline than anywhere else in the United States with all the islands. Oyster permitting and growing up there has gone tenfold over the last 10 years. Massachusetts does an amazing job. Duxbury has a great environment, you know, where it has a ton of water coming in and a ton of water going out every tide. So that fresh water coming in from the ocean washes over those oysters every tide a couple times a day, which is beautiful.
It helps them get thicker.
Like yeah, it just it helps
and
everything.
Keeps them fresh.
Yeah, it keeps them fresh. It feeds them the new, all the new nutrients coming in the water that they feed on. It's a great environmental story. There's, you know, little to no impact on the environment. It's actually positive for the environment. They filter a lot of stuff out of the water that shouldn't be there, which they filter well enough that it's not really harmful to humans. We manage it much better than we ever did. The state and oyster farmers do a great job communicating and testing water throughout the year to make sure that they're harvesting safe oysters. And it's been a great way for people to make a living on the waterfront who've had to give up certain things. Like catching wild fish for a living is really difficult to do. It's not the same as it was 20, 30 years ago. So people have been able to transfer over to aquaculture and oyster farming as a way of life.
So we're learning ways to prepare oysters for everyone to love them. We have Jeremy Sewell from Row 34 and Nancy Batista Caswell from Brian Oyster Bar in Newburyport here. Guest taster Walter Withman, you just tasted Nancy's baked oyster. Tell me what you tasted.
Really good. So it's the oyster sitting in that really delicious cream sauce. It's almost like an elevated clam chowder.
Yeah.
Just one like perfect bite. Really good.
Well, and it's important also to think about the oyster is like you're going to see in Jeremy's butter, I'm sure, without even diving in. Using it as a component or ingredient like use it for its saltiness, right? Let it serve a purpose on the dish too. It's really welcoming.
And now you mentioned the word butter, which always catches my attention. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy, you made an oyster infused butter. That is the, hard? I mean, that sounds like
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no.
He's a pro.
Yeah.
Would it be hard for me?
No. I mean, it's maybe not the simplest thing in the world to do, but it's not the hardest either. It's a recipe in the Row 34 cookbook that came out last year that we started trying to teach people how to do oysters in lots of different ways. And this is, we took oysters and hot smoked. It means you cook the oyster as you smoke it, and then we whipped it into butter. And you have the smoked oyster butter.
So you take butter and you put the oysters in and you whip it all up.
Yep.
Okay.
It's not that hard. The hard part is finding the right oyster and smoking
it. And what's the seasoning in green on
top? So we just put it on a little toasted baguette and some fresh herbs, Aleppo pepper, sea salt, lemon, and just, you know.
All right. So I'm taking first taste here while we pass these around.
Thank you.
And while we do, Jeremy and Nancy, when we do Brewed in Massachusetts, which is our series on the brewing industry, mm-hmm. we discover, and I love the sound of everyone crunching. I can't wait to take my turn. We discover that it's a good, tight community. Lots of sharing ideas. Do the two of you, and do you have a local chef, seafood chef community where you're sharing ideas, you know and support each other's businesses? Nancy, tell me a little bit about that.
I think so. I mean, there's certainly that energy amongst each other. And when we're using familiar oyster farmers like the guys at Island Creek, they definitely communicate quite a bit. One of our oysters, the oyster in the pot pie, is actually from Unicorn Oyster, these guys up in Maine that are diving into oyster farming for the first time a couple of years now they've been in it. But I think that they also kind of bring that synergy and connection amongst each other and knowing where their oysters are and what people are doing with it. And of course, social media plays a big part of it now with what we're seeing people doing.
So Jeremy, oh my God, the smoke, the salt, the crunch.
Who knew?
Put it up, right?
Yeah.
Right? Now, I wouldn't use a lot, right? It is a strong butter.
Yeah, it is. And it's a little bit on there, and you get the crunch and the salt and a little bit of spice from the pepper and the lemon and the herbs. It all just works for a few bites. I mean, the beautiful thing about this butter is you can put it on toast. You can put it in your pasta. Whatever you could do with butter, you can add this to it.
What would I drink with this? A soda, a club soda, a wine, a
white
beer.
Wine.
Yeah, like
white
Burgundy.
You think white wine.
Yeah, or a really hoppy beer would be great with this, you know, or a nice crisp white wine. Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
I'm still chewing. You keep talking now.
Yeah, I would agree. Something like from Burgundy, like a Chablis or something really clean, not a whole lot of oak, maybe not something like a domestic Chardonnay per se, but it's lovely and agree with Jeremy on a beer.
Now, Nancy, you brought us a pot pie, an oyster pot pie.
Mm-hmm.
And in a minute, I'm going to ask you about the ingredients. Maybe we can start passing that around with some spoons so we'll be able to taste it. One of the things that strikes me about a pot pie, it makes me think of shepherd's pie. Not only are these traditional foods, but they were a working person's food.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I think makes people shy away from oysters is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So can one enjoy oysters if one's really on a budget? Can you do this affordably?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially if you're looking for, dishes that are composed, you might feel like you're getting a little bit more bang for your buck or substance. But some people will say, like, oh, I'm hungry and a dozen oysters isn't going to fill me up. But that's not necessarily the case. You know, if they're big, larger oysters, you're certainly going to feel like you're full. But in this particular case, yeah, we went with the pot pie. Again, that nostalgic opportunity to introduce something that people grew up knowing or preparing in their home. And, you know, often we also think about, I think Walt mentioned, you know, chowder. We think about the New England clam chowder. So fun kind of play on also introducing oysters. And in the ingredients, we've got bacon. Who doesn't love bacon? Which True. Gives it that smokiness quality as well. And it's got mushrooms in it. It's got a little shishito pepper. And we finished it with a very light puff pastry.
So Jeremy's taking first taste here. So while Walt and I taste, Jeremy, tell us what you get.
It's delicious. Absolutely. I mean, you definitely get the umami from the oyster kind of being cooked.
Oh my God.
In there. And
keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And the smoke from the bacon. I mean, it's great.
Yeah. This, honestly, Nancy, Walt, do you taste the oyster?
You're going to have to come back to me.
Oh, got it. I feel like I'm really tasting pot pie.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? I taste the bacon. I taste the onion. I taste the shell. I feel like this is sneaky oyster.
Yeah. In the particular case, we were also playing with doing a whole belly. So you got that whole big pop of oyster right in your mouth. But then we also talked about chopping it. So it kind of evenly came through. But again, just going back to using the oyster as a version of a nice kind of salt salinity pop that's... gives you that brightness.
Now, Walt's like, I'm ready.
Well, one, it's really delicious. Two, I have a question. I've heard that the Maine oysters are actually saltier because the water's colder. They grow slower.
Yeah.
Is that true?
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not every one of them, but is a wide kind of look at a Maine oyster. Colder water, more time in the water.
Okay.
Tend to so be
putting salt. A Maine oyster in here, you're getting like a lot of natural salt.
Yeah.
All right. So last question for you, and I'm going to unbreak... finish this. Last question. So somebody says, fine, I'm convinced. I'm going to try cooking an oyster. 2-3 quick. Jeremy, give me one. When you're going to buy oyster, make sure you...
Know how long they've been out of the water when they were harvested. There's tags that come with them. Anyone who's selling you oysters should be able to tell you where they're from, when they were harvested, and just make sure that, you know, you get oysters that are probably a week or less old out of the water.
Mm-hmm. And once you've got them, Nancy, how long do you have to cook them?
You know, depending on how you're holding them and maintaining them in your refrigerator, but honestly, you know, the fresher the better. You know, give it a couple days.
All right. Nancy Batista Caswell, owner of Caswell Restaurant Group and Brine Oyster Bar in Newburyport, is one of those. Jeremy Sewell, chef, and owner of Row 34.
Too.
Yeah, all of the above. Yeah. Walter Withman from WBUR. Thanks to all three of you. Delicious.
Thank you. Thank you, chefs.
You.